I want you to think back with me for a moment. Think back to the things that have happened to you or the things that you have done throughout your life. And I'm sure as you think back that you'll think of many happy things. I can think of my wedding day, for example, the birth of my children, the various graduations I went through, and so forth. Those were all very good things. But of course, life being what it is, I can also remember many not so happy things. The loss of loved ones, times of depression, and so forth. This is all just a part of life. Life has its ups and downs, and it's part of living in this world. But I suspect, Christians, that as you were thinking back on the things that have happened to you, there were some things that did not immediately come to mind. Things that you'd rather not think about. Things that you did that you wish you hadn't. Things that you said that you wish you could take back. Things that make you feel guilty and ashamed even until today. Because after all, God has given us a conscience, that natural sense of right and wrong. And when we walk in the light of our conscience, most of the time we'll be led in the right way. But a wounded conscience is not so easily healed. A wounded conscience leaves a lasting pain, kind of like a burn. And there is no one that likes to feel that pain, to feel that sense of guilt, and so we try to look for some kind of relief, some way of getting out of this pain so that we don't have to feel it anymore. And there's three ways that we typically try to do this. The first way that we try to find relief is simply by ignoring it, trying to forget it. If I just don't think about it, then it won't hurt me anymore. I'll just block it out, and then I don't have to feel it. Or at the very least, I'll distract myself so much with things like entertainment that I won't have time to think about it at all. And it might work for a while. We might forget. But it won't last forever. Sins have a way of burning themselves into our memory, even to the point of coming back into our thoughts when we least expect them to. And every time that they come back into our thoughts, that same sense of guilt comes right back with them. So ignoring it is not going to bring us relief. Some things simply can't be forgotten. A second way that we try to find relief is through my actions. I'm going to try to balance it out. If I do enough good, that will cover over the bad, and that will make me feel better about myself. Some people, of course, try to do this with God's law, that if I just keep God's commandments, even the very smallest, that will show how good I actually am. That will make God love me, and therefore I don't need to feel guilty about the things that I have done. But of course, some try to do this simply by what they do. They hold themselves up as the proof of their goodness. I give to charity, they say. I work hard. I haven't hurt anyone. I put up the sign in my yard to show that I'm supporting all the right causes, and I change my profile picture on Facebook to raise awareness for whatever the current issue is. Surely all of these things show how good a person I actually am, especially compared to other people. But how does this fix anything either, Christian? No matter what I do, the pain of guilt for things that I have done remains. And even if I do 1,000 good things, even if I do 1,000,000 good things, that sense of guilt is going to keep coming back. Because the conscience is not a set of scales where we're trying to balance out the good and the bad, trying to make one weigh more than the other. The conscience is an either or. Either I have done what is right, or I have done what is wrong. And when I do what is wrong, that sense of guilt will always be there. It's not something that just goes away. And the third way that people trying to find relief is probably the most common these days, by saying that it wasn't wrong at all. Maybe they'll say, well, what I actually did was pretty good. It led to this good over here, or it kept me from doing something worse, so I don't need to feel guilty about it. It was, in fact, a good thing that I did. Maybe people will say, well, it's just neutral, right? I slipped up, I wasn't paying attention, and so I screwed up. But I'll do better next time. I'll fix it the next time around, so everything's going to be okay. I don't need to beat myself up. But more and more people will say these days, Christians, that it wasn't wrong at all, that it wasn't a sin at all. This is who I am, after all. And what right do you have to say otherwise? Yeah, the Bible does speak against this, but the Bible is an old book. So maybe that was then, but this is now. Things have changed. Things are different now, so I don't need to feel guilty. And besides, the words that we use to translate the Bible put a meaning there that was never actually there. God's actually fine with it, and after all, he's a God of love, right? So it's not really a sin. And who cares if the Bible even says that it's a sin? You can't force me to be something different than what I am. So I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. I am who I am, and there's nothing wrong with me. But Christians rebelling against God's word doesn't solve anything either. In fact, the very act of rebelling against God's word shows the truth. Because why would I feel a need to prove that something isn't a sin if there was no sin? I don't feel a need to justify something that doesn't make any difference. There's no right or wrong about it. But when I feel a need to say that what I did was actually a good thing, that there's no sin at all, that shows that my conscience has been wounded. I'm trying to suppress what I know to be true deep down inside. And more than this, Christians, my act of rebellion shows that I have broken God's law. Because I'm not a rebel if I break the laws of Canada or of Mexico. I don't belong to those countries. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm a rebel if I break the laws of the United States because I am a citizen here. So when I rebel against God's law, it shows that I know that it applies to me. It shows that I know that I must answer to him. So I can try and rebel all I want. I can try to deny it all I want. It doesn't change a thing. That sense of guilt will keep coming back because I've not actually dealt with the problem. So no, Christians, what I do is not going to solve this issue. I cannot ignore or paper over or deny my sense of guilt. And Paul himself knew this perfectly well. Because honestly, Christians, who has done worse things than Paul? Paul persecuted Christians. Paul stood by and approved while Stephen was murdered. Paul dragged many Christians out of their homes to prison. Paul testified against them, had them condemned. There are few people who did more to oppose the church of God than Paul. Paul was, in his own words, the very worst of sinners. But Paul found peace, Christians. Paul found peace not because he just ignored what he did. How could he ignore it? And Paul found peace not because he said that he had done a lot of good. All the good that he did could never outweigh such guilt. And Paul found peace not because he denied those things. I mean, who could say that murder was in fact a good thing? But Paul found peace because he found grace rather than judgment. He found mercy instead of wrath. He found the forgiveness of sins rather than condemnation through Jesus Christ. As Paul says in verse 15 of our reading, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Jesus brought him relief not because Jesus said that Paul's sins were no big deal or that they were in fact good, but rather he brought him relief because he forgave that sin and took its punishment upon himself. And for this reason, Paul could say that he had a clear conscience. He had no sense of guilt at all, because Jesus had forgiven his sins and dealt with them once and for all and given to Paul an everlasting peace. This is why Paul is an example for us Christians. As he says in verse 16, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." If Jesus could show patience to Paul, if Jesus could give peace even to a man like him, if a blasphemer, a persecutor, a murderer could find a clear conscience in Jesus, then this peace can also be yours. You too can find forgiveness for your sins, so that no matter what you have done, no matter what past sins haunt you, there is peace and a clear conscience in Jesus Christ. So turn to him, call on his name, and lay hold of his promises. And the peace which passes all human understanding will be yours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. King of the ages, we give you thanks for the strength and the mercy which you have given to us through Jesus Christ. Forgive us our sins and lead us to always trust in you, knowing that your mercy is for even the very worst of sinners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.